The most important subject that anyone could ever study is history. Great leaders like Washington, Lincoln, and Churchill learned valuable lessons from the past, but even they didn't possess the ultimate understanding of history. Learn what this understanding is and how you can obtain it. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. I have said before that history is the most important subject that you can study. I believe that to be a true point that we need to understand. I recently saw a quote which said just the opposite of that, and I wanted to touch on that today. But what I want to talk to you about mainly is the ultimate understanding of history. What is it? Why is it perhaps the most important subject of all? And why is it that without a solid understanding of history, I believe I can prove to you that that causes people to be much more easily deceived without that understanding of history, a good understanding? Max Frankl wrote The Times of My Life and My Life with the Times, the New York Times he's referring to, and he had this to say. He said, I became a secular liberal, plainly, and I made the satisfying discovery of Moses, who commanded the worship of law instead of the golden calf, and of Jesus, who proclaimed the equality of mankind and God's love. The ultimate riddle of these formative years was how the worshipers of Moses and Jesus could have abandoned their prophetic teachings and succumbed to a pathetic, murderous tribalism. Now, there are some errors in that I want to point out later, but what are they and what's wrong with that? He said, the more we try to return to the heroic age of tribalism, and that includes, of course, the Bible and what it teaches, and he talks about it suppresses reason and truth, and in some cases, of course, religion definitely does do that, and in a lot of cases, really. But he said journalism became not just gratifying, but a moral imperative. So he began to think journalism was a big part of the solution to all of our problems. And he said that religion has succumbed to a pathetic, murderous tribalism. Now, he's talking about Nazi Germany leading up to and during World War II. And in part, he is right. But it's not the whole truth. And I want to get back and prove that to you in just a few minutes. Winston Churchill talked about the having a historical perspective. In other words, put everything in the context of history. And then you can have a real understanding, identity, and know who you are, much more about who you are and why you're doing what you're doing. But you need that big picture that he's talking about. And if you don't have that, and you don't have that understanding of history, well, your country is going to be in trouble. It's going to collapse in many cases. And he saved, in many ways, his own country from collapsing in World War II and the whole Western world to a great extent. But still, he fell short. He did not have the ultimate understanding of history. What did he lack? I want to read to you from what I wrote in the Former Prophets. This is a quote from George Will. When history is taught at all nowadays, often it is taught at the unfolding of inevitabilities. Of vast impersonal forces, syndicated columnist George Will wrote in his December 23, 2001 column. He goes on to say, the role of contingency in history is disparaged, so students are inoculated against the undemocratic notion that history can be turned in its course by great individuals. Now, that is true. Great individuals can turn the course of history. Winston Churchill did that. George Washington did that. But still, there's something lacking in what these men believed. General Washington commanded ill-fed, ill-clad, and barely trained forces against the world's mightiest power. Had been in a retreat, as he would be much of the war, by Christmas night 1776, he desperately needed a victory and got one with a surprise attack on Trenton. The human story would have had different contours if the bullets that sliced through his clothing during the French and Indian War had struck him. Now, he certainly was a vital part of saving America, but that's not the full story. That's not all of the truth. Some historians say that Winston Churchill saved Western civilization. Now, he was a key player in the saving of Western civilization in World War II, played the key role of a human being, as far as I'm concerned. But he did not have the ultimate understanding of history. And I'll show that to you. But he certainly did have a great understanding of history, of this world. Churchill's reading of history reinforced his early education to exalt the heroic virtues. That's from his book, Marlborough. He cherished as a law of history the principle that a people who flout these virtues is doomed to decay and dissolution, and that a people who respect them will prosper and survive. If we respect and emulate those heroic virtues of history, we will prosper and survive, but if we flout them, our nations are doomed to decay and dissolution. Now, he says that's the law of history. It's about the survival of our nations. And he was the key player in the winning of World War II and turning that onslaught around. Now, still, he lacked something. He did not have the ultimate understanding of history. Let me give you one more quote here. "We must face facts and draw true conclusions from them. It was now essential for Britain to retrieve the woeful miscalculations of which we are at present the dupes, and of which, unless we take warning in time, we may someday be the victims." Churchill reiterated his worries 2 days later when he wrote to Colonel Parkingham, "Walsh, I am astounded at the indifference with which the press and the public seem to view the fact that the government have been utterly wrong about the German airstrength." They were utterly wrong. And he said, "It's as if our press and politicians today have no memory." Like they don't even remember history. That history, and a great history, certainly of the British Empire. But they'd forgotten all that. It's as if they had some kind of amnesia where you've just lost your memory. And if you do that, you're going to get lost in the present. You're not going to see what happened in the past. You're not going to understand it. And if you can't see what's happening in the past, you can't look nearly as far in the future. That's what Churchill told us. And one more quote here, "As we make nation-destroying mistakes, the press and people remain indifferent, just as we did in the past. We learn nothing from history. The endless repetition of catastrophes continues until we become victims." That is what happens to dupes. I wrote this. History and Churchill should have taught us powerful lessons. Instead, that history condemns us. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. But look, if you have amnesia, you've lost your memory. And if you don't understand history, you don't have a memory of the past. Just like if you had amnesia and it makes people disoriented. The same principle applies in understanding history. If we don't understand it, we're going to be disoriented and, as I said, lost in the present. We won't see that far into the past, which helps us to see further into the future. We'll lose all that. It's as if we've lost a big part of our memory. It's as if we have amnesia. Now, let me go back to that quote, and I want to show you where there were some serious mistakes made. And he said in his index that the title is "The Meaningless of History." That's what his quote is about here. And you can read it in his book. But he says, I became a secular liberal. It could be a secular conservative or anybody else. But the key word here is secular. He became a secular liberal. Now that is a big mistake because it means this, that he has rejected religion as to solving any of these problems. And with that, he rejects the Bible, which is the absolute authority of God. And as we've said many times, it's Jesus Christ in print. Now, religion in this world has been deceived. Revelation 12 and verse 9. The whole world is deceived, including religion. Now, he certainly has part of that right, but he rejects the Bible, and that's the biggest mistake that he could possibly make. He has become secular, and by that, he really means that he doesn't look to the Bible. He doesn't look to religion, and that can be a good thing. It certainly oftentimes is. But what about rejecting the Bible along with it? Matthew talked about the people that have closed their minds to God's Word and to what God says. That includes the scholars and many people that follow them. So he became a secular liberal, a secular non-religious liberal. He goes on to say, I made the satisfying discovery of Moses, who commanded the worship of law instead of the golden calf and of Jesus. Now, God nowhere in the Bible tells us that we are to worship the law. We don't worship the law, we worship God. So he doesn't understand that, but he thinks he does, and he needs to know more about the Bible. He goes on to say, the ultimate riddle of these formative years was now the worshipers of Moses and Jesus could have abandoned their prophetic teachings and succumbed to a pathetic, murderous tribalism. Now here again, he's talking about not only worshiping the law that God gave through Moses, but he's also saying, well, they worshiped Moses and that was good. You never, ever worship a man. Moses was human like the rest of us. And Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says, cursed be the man that trusts in man. We don't worship any man. Now, he doesn't seem to understand that. So, he doesn't understand the Bible, but he thinks he does, I believe. But he does not. So, if you look at the mistakes that he makes here, you know, well, okay, he needs to understand more about the Bible. Now, I think he's very sincere as far as I know, and I'm not saying he's insincere at all. But I am saying that you must, if we are going to understand, have the ultimate understanding of history, we're going to have to understand the Bible. Now, these men often don't know very much about the Bible at all. They think they do because they look at religion, but you can't look at religion and say, well, that is in the Bible. That's not often the case. It just isn't the truth. And I can easily prove that to you. But if you want to have the ultimate understanding of history, you're going to have to include the Bible. Now, When Mr. Frankel discusses the law and Moses, well, there are obviously areas that he does not understand. So these men will think they understand and they'll just close their minds to the Bible and say, well, I'm a secular liberal. I'm not just a liberal or I'm not just a conservative. I'm a secular liberal or I'm a secular conservative. And they just close their mind to God, to the Bible. And that's their ultimate mistake. Notice Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked, and you are waxing fat, you are grown thick, you are covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils or demons, not to God. That's what a lot of religions do today. They really do, and you can prove that. To gods whom they knew not, to you gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. That was Israel, the only people who've ever been, who've ever known God and been ruled by Him. They knew Him on some level anyhow. Verse 18, of the rock that begat you, you are unmindful and have forgotten God that formed you. You've forgotten the God that formed you. The one that begot you, you have become unmindful of Him. Verse 20, and He said, I will hide My face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children whom is no faith. Well, what do you know? You see, they get away from the God who created them, and then they don't have any faith. They don't have the faith to trust God and empower them to do outstanding things. No faith. God had Israel oftentimes go after He had performed a miracle. He made them set up some kind of an altar, or maybe it would be a pile of rocks where He had opened up the sea, and He put those rocks in the bottom of the sea when it came back and flowed as it did before. But He said, now you remember what I did here, and you teach your children what I did here, so you understand true history. And those miracles did happen, and you can prove that too. We've been doing it for years. But notice what God's people do in this end time that makes them stand out, the very elect that stand out and know what they're doing and have the ultimate understanding of history. Notice this, then they that feared the Eternal spoke often one to another, and the Eternal hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Eternal and that thought upon His name. They created a book of remembrance. God did it, but gave them a book of remembrance, and they spoke often one to another and had this book of remembrance, or book that told about their history with God and what God was doing. Not what men were doing, but what is God doing? How are you going to know that? The God that formed you and created you, how are you going to know and remember that God if you don't know your Bible? And then you won't have faith. That's what Israel's problem was. And that's why all of the adults died in the wilderness, except a couple of them. An amazing thing. Verse 17, and they shall be mine. Now these people God loves because they remember the history of God. Verse 17, and they shall be mine, says the Eternal of Hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, it should be my prized possession, my own sons, my own family, that's what it means. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. He's going to look after those people, and he's going to protect them from the danger of the country that does not have the ultimate understanding of history. God had them write a book of God's history, guiding them, and you can get that book. It's called Malachi's Message to God's Church Today. And it's called the Little Book in Revelation 10. And it will show you and teach you the history of God. I'll just give you this scripture to use. I mean, if I have time, I'll go back and read it. But in 1 Peter 2, verses 20 and 21, it says, follow Christ's example. God sent us an example to this earth, sent His Son to this earth, to set an example for us, and wanted us to follow that example, not only heed His message, but follow His example and not just look to the person of Christ as most Christians do. We have to do better than that. A Christian is a person that follows Jesus Christ. Now, that means following His example. We must do that, and we must make sure we don't fail in that area. The Bible, see, history reveals that great Creator God. Notice 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. And remember, the Israelites are the only people who ever had a history with God. Verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. See, I've taken you back and shown you Israel's history. God says in the New Testament, these are examples for us to learn from, to teach us. They're examples of history. History out of the Bible. History of what God is doing. What God is doing, not just man, but what God is doing. That's the ultimate understanding of history. And if we don't have that, we're going to have serious trouble. Notice he said in Luke 24, verse 25, Christ spoke these strong words of condemnation to them, quote, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He's talking about the Old Testament. He said, saying to the Jews, oh, you're fools. You're slow of heart to believe the gospel, believe the prophets and what they have spoken. And it really was the gospel. So Christ was, he was speaking very bluntly, wasn't he? Can we take correction like that? And have we been fools? Well, I certainly have been. And we need to see when we're fools and humbly change and let the history of God impact us and tremble before His Word. That's what He wants of us, not just to read it and study it, but to tremble before every word. Matthew 4 and verse 4, we're to submit to every word that comes out of the mouth of God and also proclaim it to the world. Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, how about that? That God would build His church on this earth when He came here. Christ would. And He says it will never die. It'll flow right on into His second coming. It'll never die. Now, where is it? Where is it? Well, can we just say, well, I'm just a secular guy. I don't look into that. Well, Christ said, you'd better, if you worship Christ, He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. It'll never die. Those are strong words. Is Christ a liar? Would we dare think that? He stated it. Now, where is that church? Well, I'll give you literature at the end of this program that will show you exactly how you can prove that. He goes on in Revelation 1 and verse 12 and says that He's right there in the midst of those seven lamps, it should read. And His face shines like the sun in its full strength. Look, that's what you learn by knowing the Bible. It's about the history of God and what He is doing, what He's doing with man, and what the purpose of man is. This is amazing truth. And after John saw that, he fell at His feet as dead. And he just saw the vision. And Christ is right in the middle of God's church, every era, from Jesus Christ right on down to the second coming. From the first coming to the second coming. Well, you can see that whole book was given to Christ by His Father. Mr. Armstrong warned the church in the 1970s that they got His church and God's church got away from the truth of God. And he says, if you don't learn from that lesson, you're going to repeat your history. And they did. And 95% of them turned away from God. They did not learn from their mistakes in the 70s. Now, if you go back and you can read Genesis 1 and verse 26, and it talks about God making man not after the animal kind, but after His kind. We have His features, and He's going to build within us His character and His mind. That's the history that we need to understand to really ultimately understand the history of the Bible. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
The most important subject that anyone could ever study is history. Great leaders like Washington, Lincoln, and Churchill learned valuable lessons from the past, but even they didn't possess the ultimate understanding of history. Learn what this understanding is and how you can obtain it. Winston Churchill's understanding of history saved Western civilization from destruction during World War II, but even he lacked the ultimate understanding of history. Great leaders like George Washington understood that outstanding individuals turn the course of history. Still, these leaders fell short of obtaining the ultimate understanding of history. Not knowing history is like having amnesia. Without a working memory of history, we become lost in the present. To build the ultimate understanding of history, one must study more than just secular sources. God's loyal people in this end time are best known for remembering their history with God. They are God's prized possession. They cherish the little book of Revelation, chapter 10, the little book of church history. They learn from the history of ancient Israel as outlined in the Bible. This history is not just a story about human beings. It reveals the great creator, God. Request Gerald Fleury's free book, The Former Prophets, How to Become a King, to discover the many lessons you can learn from ancient Israel. Understand why history repeats itself. These stories aren't just recorded for your entertainment. They are there to help you grow in godly character. Emulate the righteous traits of Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, and many others. See how your life will change for the better as a result. You'll also receive a copy of Gerald Fleury's free book, The True History of God's True Church. When Jesus Christ founded the New Testament church, He said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. He prophesied of seven successive eras it would undergo before His second coming, and even foretold the predominant character of each. History shows that God's true church, though it has gone largely unnoticed, has survived through the 20 centuries since that time, fulfilling Christ's prophecies in specific detail. Now, on the cusp of Christ's return, this dramatic and miraculous story can be fully told. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Former Prophets and The True History of God's True Church. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.